Welcome back to the final session. And kicking us off, we've got Anca Kula, and she's going to talk about assisting the individual professionalization of young teachers by focusing on their non-verbal expressions.
Indeed, thank you, Alexa. As you already heard, I'm Anca Kula, and this is more or less the topic of my PhD project. So this is not what I'm going to talk about in, what used to be 15 minutes, but this is a bigger issue here. So this is the working title of my PhD project, and I want to give you a very, very short overview of this study and then go a bit in further into detail on transcribing nonverbal elements, nonverbal aspects in the usage or how they use, how young teachers for English as a foreign language use nonverbal aspects or how they don't use them. Okay, so this study is situated in Germany, as you can see, more precisely in Potsdam, which is right here next to Berlin. So now you have a rough idea of where I'm from. I work at Potsdam University as a teacher educator for teaching English as a foreign language. We are sitting right at the Casa Sanssouci, or right opposite to it, so we're looking at it. So this one over here. And the students participating in my studies are usually bachelor students who have their first teaching attempts in these situations. I'm going to show you a bit more later on. So they have a supervised internship in as a part of their curriculum. So it was not extra internships or anything for the study, but it's a normal curriculum. Is there a problem? Good.
You get text on that, but not on that.
Oh. Thank you.
No.
Maybe I can change this. Yeah, see?
You seem to too big.
Thanks for telling me.
No show. And then back again. You have to do it again to bring your thing
again
back.
No show?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks. So, yeah. That's what I just said. So TEFL is the abbreviation for teaching English as a foreign language, as most of you probably know. The internship schools are usually situated in Potsdam, so this means higher middle class, really well-behaved students. The schools that open their doors for us are usually grammar schools, in German called Gymnasium, and the year I'm looking at is year 7, and they've had about 5 to 7 years of English as a foreign language at school. Some of them already started in kindergarten or before that, but usually it's 5 to 7 years in year 7. And I have signed releases from pupils at school, students at university, teachers, and everyone else who is included in this study to publish my my study with their extracts and to present it in a research environment. So my dissertation project is, of course, as I said, a bit bigger. It consists of 5 major parts. The main goal is that I'm trying to improve the professionalization of young teachers for English as a foreign language in the German system, which is where my job and my dissertation share common ground. So this is the good part, that I can have a full-time job and also do my dissertation here in this area. I find it to be most important for young teachers to find their place in the classroom. Their stand in the classroom as an intern is really, really difficult because they try to be an authority, or most of them try to be. But of course, they're new to this environment. So even the pupils know the classroom and the school much better than they do. So then there is the teacher in the back, so the teacher of the pupils, who is observing what's going to happen to their class. And then there's me, who's going to evaluate the students. So these are many, many factors that come here that make it really difficult for the students to find their place there. And they're trying to be finished teachers, but of course that's not possible in their first teaching attempt. And so I'm trying to prepare them for the praxis shock, or to take back the praxis shock a little bit. So this is my ideal goal. Closely linked to this is the approach of reflection, of course, which does not only take place during the seminar, but also during training sessions. You will see later on there are some training sessions I did as well with them. And to substantiate the process of reflection for action, improvisation training for teachers is also added to these training seminars. I'm not talking about theatrical skills and learning a script, but really improvisation, so how can I act in this and that situation? All this is analyzed according to conversation and video analysis principles, and this is why I'm here. The latter being introduced as a tool for action research for the students, because they're usually not introduced into research methods. So future teachers usually don't learn about research methods in German universities, but they're going to be taught how to teach, but not how to evaluate and reflect on their teaching. So this is what I put in there as well. And now, since there are so many different things going on in the classroom, as you heard before from Chris, I had to focus on a special area. I used video analysis, so I used video data. So I tried to look at something that where it makes sense to use video analysis. And I came across nonverbals in the classroom because, of course, in the foreign language classroom, it can be important to really show the pupils what's going on, because there are lots of words and structures they just don't know. And usually what the students do in their first teaching attempt, something like standing there, not moving at all, and telling them over and over and over again in the most elaborate structures they can imagine in English, what's going to happen. And then you see those little kids, and they're standing there, and yeah, they're not understanding anything. Okay, let's go on to the study. So there were three stages in the empirical study. The frame was always the supervised internship, I said earlier, in the bachelor studies. This was complemented in the third stage by a training seminar over here. My group took as well. So there usually are about 10 groups with about 6 students who go into schools each semester. So these are these internships. And I, of course, can't take 10 groups going into school week after week after week. And so I have one group. And my group also had a training. The first stage was the traditional approach. We went into schools, they gave their teaching attempts, and then afterwards we reflected on the action. Then the second stage, so one semester later I had another group, it was not the same students. We had CIE and video analysis before actually going into the school, and then we had an intermission in the middle where we already analyzed what they were doing in these first teaching attempts, and then they went back to school and had their second and third and fourth teaching attempt. Okay, and now my final piece of work is the same as the second, but also complemented by a training that's in improvisation skills and also much more elaborated on reflection on and for action. So this was done for the teaching attempts, but also for the training. So we had these micro-teaching situations and small improvisations, and we were always reflecting, always seeing what did they do, why did it feel for the audience like it did, and so on. So what could they change? What could be altered? Things like that. It was not about better or worse, but it was really about what could have been done differently. Okay. So I want to show you from this last stage one example of development of one of my students. So this will be her third teaching attempt in these internships. This is the program Transana, some of you might be familiar with. I think it should be.
So now we watch it again, and you write your own commentary. You know the video is only 20 seconds.
Okay.
And keep that in mind, because after that, you will read out your commentary and be emotional, okay, as I told you before. And you work in partners. Yes?
Okay, so this is in the middle of the class, and as you notice, the task for the students is to write a football commentary. It was about the World Championship, and they just saw one of the goals, and their task was to give a real emotional football commentary while this was being projected onto the screen. I'll show you again with the transcript because we have the time.
So now we watch it again, and you write your own commentary. You know the video is only 20 seconds. And keep that in mind, because after that, you will read out your commentary and be emotional, okay, as I told you before. And you work in partners. Yes?
Okay, so this may pretty much strike you as a normal teacher talk. So she's explaining with hand and feet, and of course what they're going to do, everything really, really nicely ordered one after the other. But what I noticed during these 3 years now is that usually it looks like this. This is her second teaching attempt, so the one before this, 2 weeks earlier.
Okay, and I also want you to take your workbook, because I want you to check your homework. It's a long time ago, I know, but I want you to take your homework. Workbook, yeah. Which page? It was page 54, number 3. Yeah, her name is very short.
Yes, and she's from number 3.
So take out your homework.
It will take another 50 seconds till they start comparing their homework. And this is really, as I said, what happens before. But we had, in the middle, we had these intermediary analysis of their doing. So she did not prepare especially her instructions to do this and that. But we had like focus sessions on giving instructions and explaining things, and we were trying things out, and so it came much more naturally to her than just standing there like this. Of course, it's in the situation that they do this, because first time they're in front of a class, usually if you're talking to someone, you're using your hands and you use your facial expressions, because the other person does this as well in a normal, natural conversation. But in the classroom, it's completely different, because the pupils are just sitting there staring at you, in the best of cases, and they're not reacting, they're not doing anything. And this is what the students then again react to in their turn. So and this is what they have to overcome in a way. And so these improvisation games, as you may call it, and the analysis of them actually not doing much, and them seeing that they're not doing much, this is really helping them, as you saw. So this, there was really only two weeks in between, and this was the next teaching attempt for her, and she developed this far. Of course, it can be too much, but there are also weak students in there. It is still only year 7, even though they've had about 5 to 7 years of English, but there are weak students in there as well, and for them it might be good to see the book and think about it, and then turn the page and so on. So, but what I want to focus on is the transcription of nonverbal elements, because as you can imagine, there are lots of things going on nonverbally in the classroom. So teachers moving somewhere, finally showing what the students have to do. And it was just too long really writing down, puts down her pen and then goes to the overhead projector and then turns it on. So these things I wanted to standardize. As a basis for structuring, of course, I also looked at spoken words, so at the verbals. I used the GAT2, the Gesprächsanalytische Transkriptionssystem, by Zeltin et al. And the Jeffersonian system as the basis for my transcription system. And I also used icons and symbols from popular culture, so from forums and chats. So, for example, when someone smiled, I did not write down smile, but put down the smiley. I looked at eye gaze, facial expression, gesture, posture, and proxemics. But this is what I've come up with so far. I did not give you the whole table because, quite a lot. So I focused on the transcript you also have before you. This is the first one we saw. Oh, yeah, I forgot this. The hash signs I use for nonverbal means, nonverbal elements in the ongoing talk. Okay. So, I played again and point out some elements I found particularly helpful to systemize. There are more, but I will start out with those in the extract. One of the main ideas as well, so I had about 32 lessons, which means 90 minutes each for each lesson, so it was quite a lot to transcribe, so I had to make it short, first of all, for the time of transcription, and preferably in a way that could go into publishing or for conferences, that I would not have to have a whole day and to just change a small piece of transcript. So, yeah, this is the rationale behind this.
So now we watch it again. And you write your own commentary. You know that a video is only 20 seconds.
Okay.
And keep that in mind, because after that, you will read out your commentary and be emotional, okay, as I told you before. And you work in partners. Yes?
Okay, the first thing I did was, to me, literally the most obvious. I showed the directions of movements with arrows. So these numbers here indicate the numbers in the transcript that you have before you. So the first four arrows really indicate the direction in the two-dimensional space that you see before you. So like they move to the right, they move to the left, up and down. And these other, the V and the caret, they symbolize that coming to the front and going to the back. So we have three dimensions, even though most of the time, really, the teachers uses only these two dimensions for the audience. So these ones. Okay, then what I did as well was that I wrote down the person or the body part moving really at the front. So it's not like cuffs loudly, or no. Cuff is a silly example. Moves the overhead to the right or something, but OHP and then an arrow to the right. So if so that I know which body part or which object is moved, is manipulated in some way. Okay, so this was the thing I changed as well. This is just a small part. I standardized male and female learners because I did not always recognize who it was. So I put an M or an F before it, just so that you're not wondering what this is in your transcript. And then I got to counting hands and fingers. So similar to McNeil, I had right hand and left hand. And then I go right hand 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So these are the five fingers. So this is where you see RF1. There we are. So RF1 would be this, and LF5 would be this. Because sometimes it seems to be important with what they're pointing at or how they're counting, things like these. Okay. And then something I came across, of course, was that some nonverbal motions are longer than verbal turn constructional units, and which I indicated like these. I was inspired by Mondada at Dieka, but I did not choose to have the whole line with the hyphens because it got too confusing, I thought. And so you only see these, like arrows on your transcript. So the size of nonverbal elements sometimes seems to be of importance as well. So sometimes it's a quick nodding like this. So yeah, you're really right, go on. And sometimes it's a really slow and big nodding like this. Here it shows something most people are familiar with, namely dress sizes. So if there is some nodding going on in line 15, you will see an S behind it. It just means it's small nodding. So, and if you see these arrows, there are, I think, six or eight. So she's nodding quite a lot. Okay, then hands and fingers may be oriented horizontally, vertically, and in a parallel way. And I also chose some abbreviations here. I did not choose the mathematical signals for this because this could be too confusing for most linguists, I thought, and for me as well. So, and that I, as I said, I did not want to have too many symbols in here. So hor for horizontally, vert for vertically, and par for parallel. Yeah, this is what you see as well. By now you've probably also wondered what the alternating axes and pipes mean. So this is when the same motion is going on, is currently discontinued and renewed. And so things like counting and putting a stress on something. Or, for example, as you see in line, no, I don't know, but near the bottom, there's something going on where she counts like this. And so it is still the same motion, and this happens very often with translations. So, for example, they say, yeah, the content, their Inhalt, so they have the same motion going on again and again in the foreign language and in the mother tongue. So that is that the pupils notice it's the same thing that's being said here. And here, the hyphens between the pipes, this just means that the tension is held. So, for example, a house, and then she holds it here, and it takes a certain amount of time until she relaxes her hands again. So this is what I systemized as well. As I already said, I used emoticons like smileys. But of course, I chose these and not the pictures. And then sometimes teachers react by looking at something. So like by looking at the material or at the blackboard after questions. And I chose consciously looking at as a translation for the eight and the at. So eight is if you see the smileys there, they're lying on their side, more or less. So, and if you do the same with the second smiley, it's these are big eyes, as you can see here, and they are pointed at something, so at the blackboard and so on. So this is when you can see that they're consciously looking at someone or something. And last but not least, the most regular objects the teacher interacts with are the teachers and the learner's material, the blackboard, and some technical equipment. Usually it's not important if it's a computer, an overhead projector, a CD player, or whatever. So I chose to abbreviate these as well, TM for teacher's material, LM for learner's material, blackboard or whiteboard with BB, and technical equipment with tech. Yeah, and then usually you can open blackboards and whiteboards, at least those in this school. And then I have a small R here if it's the right-hand side that's going to be opened, and a small L here if it's the left-hand side that's going to be opened. Yeah, so these are the references that you don't have on your handout, but if you're interested, I can send those to you. Just send me an email. And so thank you very much for questions, hints, remarks, whatever.
Was really interesting on the issue of transcription of non-verbal materials. Obviously, one that's challenged a number of people in this room in different ways. I'm wondering whether this way forward, focusing on a symbolic sort of abstract system like this, is one that's going to be too challenging for readers and analysts to work with. It struck me that in the early 80s, and people know better about Christian Britain, that there was more of a move for that form of integrated verbal non-vocal in the transcript. But recently people like Jeff Goodwin and so on have moved towards other forms, and what we've done work where we've done video capture, simplified video captures. Chuck I know does this kind of cartoon outline thing. Manny's done the kind of computer-generated shapes, things like that. And I'm wondering whether that might work better in the longer run, in that it allows you to be able to pick out other things which are somewhat obscured by this approach. I'm not necessarily saying that that's the only way forward, but I'm aware that there's an awful lot of effort going into the way that you're taking it, and the reward might be relatively thin for the effort.
Yeah, thank you. I thought about this, and I I read a lot of publications on how to transcribe multimodal things, and that's why I went to the ICCA. And as I already said yesterday, I was a little disappointed what came out there. But what I've done here is you can't yeah, but you have it on the transcript as well on the handout. This is for most of all for transcribing. I can't use stills and symbols and pictures in the transcript. So this is really for me to get like a rough transcript of or a rough idea of what's going on. I'm not sure yet how I'm going to publish this in the in my PhD thesis afterwards. But I think it works for people who know about this system. So in conference, I think it works fine if you tell people what these things mean. And it works very, very well for transcribing, and it's very time-saving. And you can teach this very quickly to a lot of students. And as I said, I did this for teachers, so future teachers, student teachers, and they needed some kind of system to get used to. And so this was really quickly for them to, first of all, be able to talk about things, things that happen in the classroom, and to have it in front of them. So when they were pacing up and down, things like that. And if you have lots of errors there, it's much more convincing than if you have long sentences or long phrases. Yeah, but mm-hmm. Thanks.
I just find it very interesting indeed. I suppose, I mean, you're dealing with highly complicated data. It's multi-party data. Is that just the one camera view that I assume?
No, I have two. I have one viewing from the classroom and one viewing into.
If I may just ask a couple of questions for you.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's like you will read out your commentary. I take it on some of those images you have something like, 10 or 12 participants in the room?
25.
Which makes it even more tricky. How would you transcribe the conduct in relation to that utterance of say six of those participants? So that you can then explore the potential relationship between their visible conduct and of course the articulation of the utterance.
I know this is really, really critical and crucial. But I am focusing on the teacher conduct, and I'm focusing here on explanations and instructions. So, and here you really can see how they work. So I would take out the two most obvious characters there that do not comply to something. But most of all, it's about the whole class. As you saw in the one with the workbook, with the homework, it really took her 2 minutes, and the other one was really well structured. And so these are things that are pretty clear. So the students started working, and with the other one, they just didn't.
So one would be about, it's a major problem cluster.
Yeah.
How do you map out the visible conduct of a range of participants, say with regard to matches, that makes it easier, as long as so that you can start to look at interconnections between multiple participants. Because I think that's why a lot of people dealing with bodily movement have focused on dyadic, triadic forms of interconnection. Because practically, that's easier to see. The other is, and it's a problem for us as well, that is, I suppose, if you take a smile and the emergence and the decline of a smile, it has a kind of trajectory to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose what we're interested in is, I'm sure you're interested in the qualities of that action. Not just its onset and completion, not just its state at that point, or its state at that point, but the ways in which its articulation is transformed within the course of an action.
Yeah.
Do you find a concern that once you start to categorize things in terms of transcription, as say a smiley face or a plain face or whatever, that already you're perhaps losing some of the qualities of the action that later on might prove to be relevant to your analysis? I mean, as I say, this is a problem for us, I'm sure.
No, for the rough transcript, I really have just smiley and so things like this. But if I go into further detail, I have a closer look at these, and then you have these interpreting signs, so the smaller than and greater than signs. So, and then I do interpreting, but I really try to reduce this to as little as possible in the beginning when I show this to my student teachers, because they do lots of things unconsciously, of course, most of us do. And so this is the first thing to really to make them notice. And so this is first about transcribing and then about interpreting, which will be my analysis from January on. Thanks a lot.
Any further questions?
Oh, this? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I have a similar kind of worry that Jonathan and Christian expressed about the analytic performances of all this work, when presumably if you're in a classroom and the teacher's looking at it, or if you're at conference, then you've got the video, so you're trying to get more and more stuff into the transcript when you've actually got the video, and you can play that very slowly. So. But this is a separate issue, really, which is, if you're going to put smiley faces in, why not put a smiley face in rather than the sideways old-fashioned typewriter style?
Because Transana doesn't do it.
Sorry?
Because Transana doesn't do it.
Oh.
And it's really easy to just put the things here. Okay. So, and this is one way as well that you can present, or that I thought you can present it. So what you have here is the verbal in the top transcript and the non-verbal. Oh no, if you can't see it, just a second. And here we go. And the non-verbal in the other transcript. So it of course depends on what you want to show in this conference and so on. So, and here I thought I want to give an overview and so to have it all in one transcript, but it's pretty easy to then
to use a system that you're trying to be as kind of detailed and specific as possible, but you're using software that doesn't allow that.
No,
it's limiting you.
It does work for me, really, because if I work with symbols and icons and ringdings and whatever, I would always have to switch back and forth, and so I can really just write it down.
Okay, running out of time a bit,
sorry.
So we should let. There's only other burning questions.